Hello, folks, and welcome to Paranormal Roundtable. I'm your host, Josh Turner, also known as Wolf. And with me today is my co-host, Mushu.
Mm-hmm. You have to do that part, too.
And
I had to come back for it.
I had to beat him before he said his name. He didn't hurry up and jump in and say his name.
I love saying it. So.
We call him Tony, but he calls himself Mushu, so there's that. But anyways, if we do this show, this is the Friday episode, the podcast, and we're on a bunch of different platforms, but we have a live stream.
On every Tuesday on YouTube, only on YouTube. You have to check it out on YouTube.
At 8 p.m. Central.
It's very, it's very cool to check out because you get a lot of backstory, background information, and you get to interact with not only the fans, but also with Wolf and also the guests. You know, it's worth it to come check out.
Mm-hmm. And it goes 2 or 3 hours, and you can come up there, but you can only listen to it if you're a subscriber on YouTube. So, but all you got to do is just go and subscribe. It's free to subscribe. You just go hit subscribe, and then you can comment. We get you can listen to it, but you can't comment unless you're a subscriber. We get quite a few people in that chat room.
Especially this past week.
Two weeks ago.
I mean,
yeah. Every Tuesday, we put a lot of people in there. Just put it that way. But it's going to be every Tuesday, 8 o'clock, and just come and join us. 8 p.m. Central. You won't be disappointed. We've done, I think, like 70 something episodes of the live stream, and they're 2 to 3 hours a piece. Some of them go 3.5-4 hours. And then we do these hour-long podcasts, the Friday podcast we drop on all the different platforms. We do these every week. Just come and join us. And also, we have a bunch of Facebook groups, and I'll name those real quick. Paranormal Roundtable, of course, is my main group. And then Wolf Turner of a PRT fan page, which was created by some fans, friends of mine. Phil Stern, and so I'm an admin in that. They were nice enough to make a fan page and let me be an admin in it. Paranormal Lounge, which is Nelly's, and then Paranormal Roundtable group, which is mine and Nelly's and everybody's pretty much. And then Paranormal Encounters, which is Tony's, and then Paranormal Trucker, which is John King, Quad Coalition of Sciences, which is Nick Valente, Dogman Werewolf Discussion, which is I'm an admin in that too, and that's Phil Stern and Della Carter. A Whisper to a Scream, which is Ryan Tremblay. I'm an admin in that. And North American Dogman Project Region 2, which is D.A. Roberts. Great author, by the way. Check out his books. And I'm an admin in that. So go and check out those groups. Like I said, you won't be disappointed. There's a lot of cool stuff, a lot of cool stories. If you want to be friends with me on Instagram, I'm Josh Turner 940. Yes, Josh Turner 940 on Instagram. So. If you want to be friends with me on Facebook, send me a message saying, hey, I want to be friends so I know to accept your friend request. Otherwise, I won't. And last but not least, the conference. We're having a conference coming up in a couple weeks, August 12th and 13th. Please join us. Tickets are available on Eventbrite under Paranormal Roundtable Presents Dogman / Cryptid Conference. Tickets $30. You get a bunch of speakers there. A bunch of people are going to be there.
We almost forgot again, the Patreon.
I think that it'll be on the description down at the bottom of the page. There's the Patreon. You can become a Patreon member. Now, here's the cool thing about being a Patreon member. Once you hit the 20, if you're a $20 tier, you automatically get a swag bag from me. And if you, or from us, I should say, if you are a $10 tier, then after 3 months, you get a swag bag. But if you join the $20 tier and you're just there for 1 month, you get a swag bag.
Either way, you're going to earn something back.
And we're going to do giveaways and raffles and sell all kinds of stuff, too, at the conference. So be sure and join us. You won't be disappointed. Barton Nunley, myself, I'm just going to name a few people. Ken Gerhard, Lyle Blackburn, Dave Wedley, Nick Redfern. Come on, guys. Let's go. I mean, it's going to be awesome. You can't beat it.
I mean, I'm pretty excited.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's going to be – Mushu is going to be there, hopefully far, far in the back away from everybody. But, that being said, we're going
to – I'll be in the bathroom, so
– he's the bathroom attendant, giving the mints and whatever.
If I wash your hands.
Yeah. Here's some soap for your hand. Here you go, sir. Here's an after-dinner mint. I haven't had dinner yet. Well, go ahead and use that as your dinner. But anyway, it's going to be catered by Thorndale Meat. Which is an amazing barbecue joint right there in Thorndale.
You've probably heard us talk about it so many times. Yeah,
Trey Felton, he's amazing. Best sausage you ever had.
We'll finally try it.
It's awesome, dude. You got to get it. So anyways, let's get started here because we got some stuff to talk about. So what we were talking about last, I think we left off last week, we were talking about all these weird phenomena.
I mean, I think the very last thing was Sasquatch.
Yeah, there was a Bigfoot type creature that they saw. Now what's going on here is there was a family, in case you missed last week and you're jumping around for some reason, which, you know, you need to quit jumping around. This isn't House of Pain.
Especially since this is part two, so it's a weird place to start.
Yeah, exactly. This is the haunted House of Pain, I guess. This was a family that lived in a house, and then there was a trailer house that was right next to it that they just kind of used for storage because it was on the property when they bought it. And they all lived in this main house until they got a little bit older. Two of the older brothers were already in their late teens, early 20s. They moved into the mobile home. Those two stayed in there, one half of the mobile home. And we're going to start with that part because this house on the hill, which was really creepy, there was an incident that happened with the two older brothers, Manuel and Richard. And they were inside the mobile home, and something slapped the side of the house, and it was slapped it so hard that it shook it. And now you gotta remember from last week's episode, there was a werewolf looking creature thing that was seen by one of the boys when he was asleep, and all that was separating him from it was the screen on his window.
Not to mention the cold invisible.
And there was all kinds of weird stuff going on there. We covered and even investigated a house that was similar to this. Remember when I was doing DER, and I know you remember with the little boy who had the thing that was coming through the window. Right. Yeah. But I think this place had even more activity than that place. And that place is about 15 miles away from this place. So that's not that far. And so a lot of weird things happen, but it's going to get really weird. So anyway, something slapped the side of the house and it shook it so hard that they thought that the mobile home was going to get tumped over. And so it happened again and again. And the next morning they go to the main house and they're like, dude, something, you know. So for a couple of days they slept in the living room on the floor in sleeping bags because they were scared to go out to the mobile home. And now this house on the hill, there was a night where they were all outside, and I've been this place. It's a very beautiful place. It's very inviting. You know, it looks, you know, until you go up to the bridge where you would go past the bridge and you'd be on that property for the house on the hill.
Where they say it starts or whatever, right?
Mm-hmm. And so that's where, you know, but they were having a lot of activity just around their house too. And I think that, you know, there were so many people that had come and gone from that house on the hill. So they were all sitting around one night. It was like Memorial Weekend or something. And they were all barbecuing, and the summer I think was starting, if I remember correctly. I'm looking at my notes here. Yes. And they were barbecuing, and they look up, and there's no electricity to that house on the hill. Nobody had lived there for months. And all the lights came on in the house, at the house on the hill. And he said they probably had 20 family members there, you know, all together. Just their family was like, you know, 10, 12 people, whatever. But then he said that they had about 20 guests. So you're talking, you know, 30, 40 people there, you know, 20-something guests plus, you know, 10 whatever something. And he said that they all started, like, walking toward the bridge kind of in a little group to go see what was going on. When they got to the bridge, they heard a weird scream that sounded like it turned into a roar, and then they all kind of just stopped at the bridge and then ran back to the house, you know, in this like mass panic. And that's what Carlos and Manuel had told me, that this is what happened. And so when they got back to the house, they all looked back, and the lights flickered a couple times and then went out, and then it was dark again. Now there was another time they were all there playing, and this was Easter. They said that they were all there, and it was Easter Sunday. And at midnight that night, it got late. And the adults were outside. The kids were all already in bed, whatever. They were inside sleep. And they said right at midnight, as Easter ended, they see what looks like this weird looking creature walking around and the only reason they could make out this creature was because this is weird. This is a weird story, dude. I'm telling you, this thing was moving around that house on the hill, and they could just make out the image of this weird devil looking creature with fur on it. But they said it had a red tail that was sticking up, and it was pointed. at the end of it was like it was a point, you know, like an arrow. And like a devil's tail, you know, yeah. The devil has the tail. Yeah. And it was kind of moving, swinging back and forth, and it was glowing red. And this thing went around and around the house, and then it just kind of dissipated. And they said that there was probably like, you know, 12 adults sitting out there talking. And yeah. So
from what these two stories combined, it sounds like something was created the first night, like some kind of Frankenstein monster, and now it's guarding its master's home. Like,
really?
Well, I mean, if you think about it, it sounds kind of funny that, you know, lights all of a sudden pop out, or all the lights turn on. And then when people go to investigate it, all they hear is this big old scream from this
monster beast. Somebody should have went into the house.
No. I wouldn't have done that.
But, I mean, there was a bunch of people there. I was like, dude, I even told them, I was like, there was 30, 40 people. Why didn't somebody?
If they all went together.
Yes. Yeah. Like, why didn't, like a group of 10 of them just say, hey, let's go up there. And they were just like too scared because there had been too many things that had happened. You know, one Christmas, this is another thing that happened. Christmas vacation. He said they had 4 or 5 of their cousins there that had come down from Abilene, okay, to visit. And they had, of course, the adults too, but there was a family, their aunt, and their uncle, or I guess their aunt and her husband or whatever, the way he described it. But they came with 4 children and then a little bitty baby, whatever. So baby, basically 5 kids. And they stayed for 4 or 5 days and up until Christmas, you know. And they said that during part of the Christmas vacation, they were outside playing, you know, and it was getting dark, you know. But it was, you know how Texas is, sometimes around Christmas time, it's not even cold.
No.
He said it wasn't even like cold, like they were literally wearing shorts and running around out there.
Texas is so weird.
It's so weird. It
could snow the one day and be 110 the next. So.
Or it's like, you know, 80 degrees and then that night it gets them down into the teens.
Yeah.
It's freaking it's weird. Wild. That happened literally.
Oh, it happens all the time.
Yeah, this it's past like a daily winter. Yeah. Thing. Like it was like 77 degrees. It was like, oh, what a beautiful day. People were out there on their little boats kayaking in the town lake. And then at 2 a.m., a northern blew in, and it got down to like 22 degrees or something. I mean, it was that fast, like boom. So anyway, they were out there, and they were playing, and it was Christmas vacation. It wasn't even cold, you know. So they had fun. They were out there, you know. But in front of everyone that was there, there was a broken-down car that looked like it was from the 50s. I said that in the last episode. The car light. This is what I was told. The car lights came on. And they saw what looked like an old man sitting in the car, like he had gotten in the car. You know what I mean? This was an old broken down car, and he drove it around the house like 2 or 3 times. And the kids saw this, the adults saw this. This is what I was told. I mean, and I was told this by 3 of the brothers that told me this story. They said this is exactly what happened. And it drove around, then drove it around and around. And he said they were just dumbfounded. So he said the adults went inside. They grabbed weapons.
Obviously.
They all were armed. This is Texas in the 80s. Everybody had a gun. You know, even the baby had the gun. And I'm just kidding. You know, the baby had the machete, you know. But no, but they went and they got guns and they just said, we're going to figure this out. So they walked up there with their flashlights or whatever. They got up to the car. The car was just an old, broken down, junky car. There was like grass and stuff growing up inside of it. And he goes, there's no way that car could have been the car driving around, but they didn't see anything. They didn't see any tracks on the grass. The next day they went back up there, you know.
Grass didn't look disturbed.
Yeah. I mean, it was unreal, you know. And he said that that didn't happen all the time, but it was a daily, you know, a nightly thing where something weird would happen. It got to where at one point it was so bad. That's why they moved out. They finally moved away because it's a pretty place. You go out there and you're like, dude, it's peaceful during the day. But like I told you, you know, I went out there at night and I was scared even to get out of the car by the bridge. And I was dang sure not going to walk across that bridge and go inside that house.
The aura changes.
Mm-hmm. And so anyways, here's another weird thing that happened. And I think this is probably one of the most terrifying things that happened to the boys. 4 of the boys were up playing up near the house, and they shouldn't have been, but they were doing what boys do, and they were
not listening.
Yeah, and so one of them threw a rock. There was a carport toward the side of the house that you couldn't really see unless you go drive up on it, whatever. And there was a big wasp's nest up there, And so they were throwing rocks at the wasp nest and from a distance, you know, trying to, you know.
Anything to tempt fate.
Yeah. And they had a BB gun and they were shooting, but it wasn't doing anything. So they started throwing rocks. And then they heard a loud slam come from the tin metal from the, which they said could have either been from the roof or from the back part of the carport. And they took off running. And when they took off running, something was chasing them. And the youngest, this was when he was little bitty. And like I said in the last episode, Philip, the youngest, he was about a year, year and a half older than me. He fell behind. And so Manuel, one of the older boys, there's only one older than him. He grabbed him, picked him up, put him on his back and ran with him on his back. And they could see, like going across the bridge, they could see like the grass, like being indented. Like he could see the footsteps because he was on his back and he was looking backwards, you know.
He couldn't see anything.
And he couldn't. Yeah, he was like he was carrying him not on his back, but like on his like if you pick up a baby and the kid's head is on the shoulders.
Yeah,
yeah, that's what I meant. So he could see it, and he said, but he couldn't see anything. He could just see the footsteps, and it wasn't even that weird, like gel looking predator pixelated thing. Nothing like it was nothing. It was just invisible, and they could see it.
Footsteps appearing.
Footsteps appearing, and you could see the dust and gravel being thrown off from it, and it was making an indention in the ground. He said, and it was so heavy. They all said this, that they could feel it, like the vibration under their feet as it ran. And the only thing that I likened it to, I said one time I got chased by a bull. With my cousin Donnie, and it actually got up under him and shoved him, you know, about 20 feet up into the air.
Crazy story. Crazy Donnie.
So, you know, that, and I felt it. And you remember when we went up to visit my cousin's up there in Plano. And you remember when she was talking about the bull chasing them when they were kids, and she could feel the thunder.
Yeah.
The remember hose. That? Yeah. And so, you know, it was my cousin Carolyn. You know,
because they weigh so much. Mm-hmm. There's so much weight behind them.
Yeah, she told me, you and my brother and Nellie that story, and she said that she could feel that bull that was shaking the ground. I've felt that before too. And these kids that I'm talking about now, they were no strangers to cattle because there was a pasture not far away, and they would go out there and they'd walk across that pasture, and there was a bull out there that would chase them. And he said that it felt like that, and we both kind of agreed, like we've felt that before. And he said that it was just like this thunderous hooves. You could tell that there was something there heavy, you know. And then he said as it got closer, you could hear like a, like something was breathing. Like you could hear it, but you couldn't see it. And he said you could see the weeds moving, you know, as it ran through them. And he said it was terrifying. And he said once they got past the bridge and then they got close to their driveway, then it stopped. And then there was a little dust trail behind it, you know, whatever it was. So, you know, it kind of reminds me when Steve Stockton came on the show and talked about going up to that spot where he was from in Tennessee and seeing that weird swirling with the leaves and whatever. He talked about it because he wrote about it in his book, My Strange World, which is a really good book, folks. You want to go get it. I have some copies, too, that I can do giveaways on. If you want a free copy, hit me up and I might give you one. Probably not because I'm mean and greedy. But no, I'm just kidding. But anyway, yeah. So
don't mean to interrupt, but what scares me about that is just being able to think of like just thinking about feeling the actual like how outclassed you are, being able to feel it but not being able to see it. Mm-hmm. Like Kevin Hart has this joke where. Like he's at some gorilla exhibit and the gorilla breaks it. But the thing that scared him was like that feeling that maybe the gorilla could catch him. Mm-hmm. And like he kept feeling it just behind him, but he didn't want to turn around because he didn't want to, you know, be confirmed that it was chasing him. I can't imagine being able to just feel like the power behind it and not knowing like where it is around you or not being able to just see what the heck it is, what it even looks like.
Yeah, it would be beyond unsettling. I mean, to be, you know that it's got all this power, but you can't see it. You don't even know what's attacking you.
Yeah.
You know, and so they got away, you know, but there was another time where the girls and some of their little friends had come over for a little get together And I think they said there were six of them. There were three girls that were in this family, and then they had three friends that had come over. And they were like, well, let's go play up there by the house. And the little girls, you know, were like, no, my dad forbids us to go up there. And they're like, oh, what are you, chicken? So then they started, you know, whatever. So they got together with Carlos, who was the second to the youngest, because he was out there kind of watching them or whatever. And the adults had gone into town to get something, you know. And so they were like, let's go up to the house, you know. And Carlos was like, I shouldn't have done it. I shouldn't have let them do it. But I did. And they kind of ran out ahead of me. He goes, and I was walking behind them. And I guess the oldest of the girls would have been like maybe just a year or two younger than him. And then the younger ones were a few years, you know, whatever. So he was a little older, you know. And he was like telling the older sister, we shouldn't do this. This is wrong. He says that, but I doubt. I know him. He'd probably say, yeah, yeah, go up. Let's go do up there and mess around, you know. But he said, no, we shouldn't be doing this. And she's like, I don't care, you know, whatever. So they went across the bridge, and he was kind of walking behind them. And two of the younger ones got up to the house first, and then they screamed and turned around, and they both ran in different directions, not going back toward them, but like in two different directions.
Just getting away.
Yeah, And so he was like yelling at them to try to corral them in. Once he finally got, one of them ran and hid in some bushes, and the other one just kept running out into the pasture. And so they finally caught her, and they're like, dude, stop. You know, what are you doing? You know? And they told him what they saw. And he's like, dude, I talked to them separately before they were able to get together and tell the same story. You know, what they saw was this old hag looking woman. And she was like sitting in a chair, and she was sitting there laughing, going, ha, 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 while they were staring at her through the window, while they saw through the window. And now he said, dude, I wouldn't, you know, if I hadn't already dealt with so much stuff, I wouldn't have believed it. But he said that him and Philip, the one that's about my age, they went up to that house on a dare one time when their friend Brian, I know this guy too, and he's stupid. He's like Donnie. Okay, I'm not saying you're stupid, Donnie, wild. But he's wild.
Yeah,
he's very wild.
A very wild.
So
boy.
Brian was like, "Hey, let's go up there. Let's shoot at the windows with a BB gun." And they were like, "Let's not, because if you do anything up there, there's stuff up there that'll mess with you." And he says, "Well, I've heard that there's an old witch that died up there. There's all kinds of legends about the house, right?" And he says, I heard there's an old witch that died up there. And they're like, no, she killed her husband. And he goes, well, let's go see if we can mess with them. And they're like, nah, we're not going to do that. So then when the older boys come home, because they both work together, you know, I don't know, they were farmers, whatever. And they worked on an adjacent farm. And they were staying out in the trailer house in the mobile home. And he said, well, get my older brother to go, then we'll go. So they go and they're like, hey, Richard, you know, can you go and whatever? And he's like, no, I'm tired. And then he said, come on, you know, and Brian's like, well, I'm going to go up there. I'll go inside the house. I'm not scared, you know. And Richard's like, okay, I want to see this. So they walked up there, you know, they had the flashlights, whatever, and they get to the house, and none of the brothers want to go in there. And Brian's like, well, I'll go in there. So he goes in there, and he's in there for a little while. Like, they're surprised at how long he's in there. They're like, dude, this guy's got, you know, he's got some, you know.
Definitely a curious guy.
Yeah, he's got some endurance. He's not afraid, you know. So they finally go in there to get him out and tell him, okay, everything's fine, whatever. And they go all through the house and they don't see him, and he's hiding under the bed. And he said that this weird woman looking witch, you know, was crawling around on all fours and started to chase him, and even went up on the wall and was like chasing after him. And he was screaming at the top of his lungs, and they were all right outside the porch. They didn't hear anything, and the door was open. The screen door was all that was closed. They didn't hear nothing. That's kind of like last episode when we talked about what happened to Jesse. And so you're just baffled by this, and there he is hiding under the bed, you know. And he said, dude, he goes, she ran past the door. I could see her on all fours go past the door down the hallway as I'm hiding under the bed. And he goes, and I'm just like praying, please don't come. Please, God, don't let her come in here, whatever that is. And so now there was another story. There was a mix of kids that were there. There was like a birthday party for one of the girls, and they had a bunch of kids come over. There was boys and girls, everybody playing, hanging out. And one of the older kids was like, she was like, hey, let's go up to the top of the house on the hill and let's look in the windows, because they're not supposed to go inside, right?
Yeah.
And so they said, okay, let's go. You know, so several kids, you know, they said there was like, you know, 10, 12 kids all marched up there to the house, and they were walking around the house looking in, and they see this old man come running toward them, like hunched over, who just looked all burned up, you know, and looked terrible, and he had like no eyes, and he ran toward them at one end of the house, and all the kids ran screaming in all directions, and then they ran back down the bottom of the hill. And so there was something there.
I think it's a witch.
Yeah, there was like a witch. It sounds like a witch. Yeah, like an old witch and a man, you know? I mean, it was...
It sounds like the story about her either killing her husband or her husband dying.
Something happened.
Something happened, definitely. But it sounds like there's definitely a witch going on.
Yeah, and one time they all, like he said, there was like four or five of them and a couple of their friends, and they went into the house. And he goes, we didn't take two steps into the house, you know, and two steps, he goes. And it was, we heard this loud, like cackling laughter, like you would think a witch would sound like. He goes, and we all took off running. We're just like, what is that? Boom, you know, we're out the door, you know. And he goes, and then we heard like, you know, like the flapping of bird wings a couple times, you know. We were outside, we were playing. And he, you know, none of the boys could confirm this story, but a friend of mine claims that one night when they were out there all playing together, that they saw this Lachusa type entity on the top of the mobile home that had landed, and they were all by the main house, you know, not the haunted house, but the regular house. Well, I guess that was haunted too, but
their
house, yeah, that they lived in. And they look over and they see this Lachusa looking thing on top of the ceiling. And it was a couple of the cousins and one of the other friends that were out there. But none of the brothers could confirm that they saw it, but they do remember those boys being there and claiming to see it. So that was a weird, you know, they did say, yeah, I remember them saying that they saw, but they didn't actually see it. But now here's another weird thing that happened. One time, Richard, now he used to smoke Bugler. Now, I don't know if you know what that is.
I actually don't.
Okay. Bugler was a type of home rolled cigarettes. Okay. And I teased him. I was like, yeah, right, Rich, you were out there. Yeah. He goes, no, man, I didn't smoke. No, you know, he goes, I was straight back then. You know, I didn't smoke. He goes, I drank on the weekends every now and then. But he goes, at that time, you know, and he had a job. At that time, he was working at a, which is weird too. He was working at a lawn care company. And he said, you know, my brother and me, we're baling hay, you know, all season. And then I was tired of it. And I was like, you know, I didn't want to do that. So I went in and did landscaping. He said, so that year I was doing landscaping, and he said, and there was this one house that we did landscaping at, and he said it was out near, it was close to Round Rock, but he said it was haunted. That, now, this is not the same property. This is a different property that Richard was telling me this story about. And he said, I was out there, and now I know that you probably, you know, Starscream, he's talked about him and Willie talking about having gone out there near this place, and it was out there what it's called, Harryman Road, I think it's called, or something like that. But there was a house out there, and he had to do some landscaping. They had somebody had recently bought an old house, and they were going to try and fix it up, whatever. I don't think the house is there anymore. But he said that he was there one day, just, you know, doing the weed eating or whatever, and he hears like a tapping, and he looks, and there's this woman in the window, and she's shaking her head no, with her eyes kind of closed, you know, and then opens them real big and says, no. And he's like, oh, okay, sorry, fine. So he goes and, you know, he stops and sits in his truck, and he's like, okay, because he knocked on the door to try to talk to this person. This person never came out. And his boss showed up, and he's like, what are you doing? And he says, well, there's a woman that lives in there, apparently, and she's screaming, saying no. He's like, I don't know, maybe she works at night or something. You know, it's like 8 a.m. And his boss is like, there's nobody living there. And so he goes and the boss goes down the street, call, because there was no cell phones back then.
Yeah.
He calls his boss. Boss shows up. They go into the house. There's nobody in there. Well, when he started describing this woman, the people that had bought the house said, yeah, that sounds like the woman that had lived there. And then she died and her kids had sold the place. It was the exact description of her. She wasn't even that old. She's only in her early 50s. And she had died suddenly.
And he's so, obviously, you know, accustomed to ghosts and Scooby.
And so he was all like, okay. And so a couple of the other workers just refused to work there. He said, so he was there by himself a lot of times, and he would hear noises and tapping and stuff. And he's like, I didn't give a crap because I grew up at that, you know, near the house on Haunted Hill, you know, basically.
We need to deal with a witch. A nice old grandma ghost doesn't sound so bad.
Yeah, that's just mad because you're what?
Being a little too loud when you're cutting the grass. it doesn't sound so bad.
Yeah, exactly. People used to tell me about, oh, I got this house. It's haunted, you know? And I'm going like, yeah, it ain't haunted like mine's haunted, dude. So there was a lot of weird stuff that he had witnessed. So he was out there on the back porch one time of the main house. And he said it was a real nice, breezy spot. You know, he liked to sit there. And he said that you get a clear view of the house, you know, though. That's the only thing. He didn't like that. He just said, I just didn't look up there because I didn't want to see some weird devil tail going around the house or some car light, you know. I just didn't want to see anything weird. He's like, so I was out there and I was rolling my buglers, you know, and I was smoking and whatever. And he goes, and that we had a little lamp that I had set out there on the patio. And he goes, and I was reading, you know. And I can attest that he was a very avid reader. He's also a very good artist. And he said that he was out there, and he goes, the next thing you know, I take a drag off of my cigarette, and I start choking. I can't exhale. And I was like, what do you mean? He goes, it was like there was a hand over my mouth and nose, and I couldn't exhale. And then I couldn't breathe in, and there was the smoke was like stuck in my lungs and in my throat. And he said, dude, I was freaking out. I was like, dude, this is horrible. You know, he goes, and I'm sitting there like, you know, and he couldn't make noise or anything. He said, just then I go to stand up and something pushed me back down, and he had a rocking chair, right? And he said that it felt like another hand began to choke him and hold his throat. And he said, oh my gosh, I'm going to die. And he goes, right before I started to black out, it let go. And he goes, and I was just like, help me, Jesus, help me. And he was like, he just dropped the cigarette, you know, he was everything, you know, and just his book, and then just ran inside the house. And his mother came out there and said she had a dream that there was this weird looking, like demonic creature that was in the backyard jumping around, like literally hopping around. She had a dream about it. And he goes, well, maybe that's what attacked me, because he goes, something covered up my mouth and choked me while I was on the porch, you know? And so that's a weird, now here's another thing.
You think the ghost was just angry at his smoking?
I don't know, unless his mom was dreaming about what was really back there.
Yeah.
Maybe she was out of her body and she could see it. And we've talked about stuff like
that. Or, you know, maybe she could feel that her son was in danger. You know? You think there's
being a Mexican mom, she probably took her chancla, her metaphysical chancla, and went out there and threw it at him and was like, get away from my son, Diablito. And she threw it out there and took the crucifix and swung the rosary and swung it at him. I don't know, dude. I'm joking around. But I mean, it's, you know, I don't know what that was. He asked me if I've ever heard of anything like that. And I said, yeah, I've heard lots of weird stories, but yeah. I mean, can I tell you what they are? No.
Definitely weird. I mean, and the thing is like, a lot of different creatures can do the same thing. So it's so hard to pinpoint like what something is based on the actions that they might take.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Wolfman and Bigfoot can throw stones.
Yeah. Yeah. And well, speaking of that, I was going to get right back into that. There was a time where they were walking through the woods going down to this one spot where they had put up like a tire swing where they could jump into the river. You know, it was a nice place for them to go swim. And when they were swimming, they see, once again, like this, they can see the outline or the image of like a blurred vision of something, you know. When I was told this story, it was Richie that was telling me the story. He said, dude, it was like you could see like a blurry, like creatures, like it was shaped like a man, but it was about 8 feet tall. And he said, you could see it, like it was moving on the bank, you know. And he said it was coming down, like it was carefully, you know, walking down the side of the bank to get down into the river. And it was right across from where they were playing. And they were just like, what the heck is that? So one of the brother's friends thought it would be a good idea to, and I know this guy too, he's a kid I used to play ball with. He's a black kid. And he's always, he's very much, I can see him doing this. You know, years ago when we were kids, we threw rocks at the middle school and broke out the glass and then they were going around the school asking everybody who did it, and it was me and him and another kid named Randy Chikowski, and I was like, dude, we broke the glass on it, which is funny because it was the band hall, but now it's a Plowman's restaurant. And I broke the glass. So that was me and him, and then the library too. So this kid, he was very much a rock thrower, and yeah. I remember this kid. And so I, you know, so I'll call him.
He's had a history of it.
Yeah, I'll call him Claude. But Claude picked up a rock, or I think they said a lump of dirt or something. And he threw the dirt clod. There you go, clod. So Claude threw a dirt clod or whatever at this creature or whatever it was, and it bounced off of it. You could see its arm kind of move, and then they heard it kind of make a noise like a grunt. And then it began to be more forceful and started running, getting down, and it jumped into the water. And they could see like this big splash. And so they all just were running away at this point, you know. Trying to get away from whatever this was. But they said, you know, the last one out of there was Bobby. And when he looked back, he said that it was just sitting in the water. It wasn't going toward them. I mean, that's what he said. It wasn't like giving chase or anything.
Yeah. Maybe it was going for a bath or something.
But why did it pick that spot where they were at? Unless it was attracted to them, as you know. And here's the other thing. I asked them if they remembered anything cold, like the last time that they encountered that. And two of the ones I talked to, and then the other one said he didn't. But two of them did say they do remember it being kind of chilly right there, even before the creature came. Like it was unseasonably, it was summertime, and it was like really, really cool right there.
You think it was in the area?
Well, have you ever been out at night and you drove over a bridge and you feel cool air like that?
Yeah,
cool
from
air?
The water.
Or yeah, maybe that's what underneath. It was. Yeah.
Well, no, I mean. Like the coldness that they were describing where you could see your breath, like that's a chill that you feel really quickly. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's something that would make you, you know, start rubbing your arms and stuff. So if that's something that would be noticeable pretty quickly. So it wouldn't be like mistaken as underdraft from the river or something, especially if they're playing in the water. So any wind would be feeling kind of cold. So I think that it might have been that they didn't feel it wasn't working, or whatever it does. That if it was even the same creature, whatever that cold air thing that it does, it was obviously wasn't doing it then.
Yeah. Well, consider this then.
That makes me believe more likely that it was more likely like in the area, and it just like was just using the river. And that's why it was being stealthy, because it just wanted to do something real quick. But obviously, it relied on its camouflage a
little bit too. And maybe once they ran, it figured it wasn't going to catch them, so it just stood there.
Yeah. Also, I would be pretty like dumbfounded if I got hit with a dirt clump.
Yeah. So one of the kids is just like, "Go away, creature," and throws it out.
There's always one.
Yeah, there's always one kid that's like Brian and Claudel. I can tell you right now, that would be them. And here's one. Bobby and one of his younger sisters, one of the twins, he said that they were outside playing, and he was teaching her how to use a hula hoop. Like, you know, and you probably have no idea. We were kids. It wasn't like a amazing toy or anything. It didn't keep my attention, but she was doing some kind of thing for school. And so she had to know how to do it, use it. So her sister had already mastered it. So she's like, I can't get this. Can you do it? Help me. He said, we're out there playing with it or whatever, trying to show her how to do it. And she's almost got the hang of it, you know. He said, then at the last minute, you know, she drops it. And he goes, I'll never forget. He goes, dude, I just remember looking down, going to pick it up. And I hear this crunching noise. And I look up and I see these two gray-haired feet. He goes, and these things were walking right by the tree line. And he said, there was a bunch of Johnson grass and there were these two trees. And there was like all this Johnson grass on one side of the property from the opposite where the house was. And he said it was like there was like woods right there. And he said it was just a small clump of woods, though. And then it opened up into a clearing on the other side. And he said, I see these two gray-looking feet. And he said, and we see we look up at the same time. He goes, and I'll never forget. I was just standing there. He goes, and I had this like just – I was so scared. He goes, dude, I was squeezing that hula hoop so hard. He's like, dude, I bent it, you know, and dented it. And these things are hard, plastic, you know. And he goes, I was so terrified. He goes, and we see these two gray. He said they had pointy ears and they had bald heads, but they had light gray fur on their bodies.
Like the witch?
Kind of like the witch, I guess, you know. But he said all they saw was from the side and the backside of them. He didn't see their faces.
Yeah.
And then one night, and I'll tell you this part.
How far away?
Oh, he said there was about 20, 30 yards. You know, I asked them that, you know, and I said, what do you think? 10 yards, 20 yards, 30 yards? I mean, these guys all knew football, so we just went by yards, you know? Yeah. And so he said that they were weird. They were tall and they were skinny. Not like these big, massive, muscular. He didn't see snouts or anything like that. But he said one night when his uncle and his dad were coming back from the bar, and of course they'd probably been drinking, but there was a bar and it was out in the country not too far from there, and they were coming back from some quinceañera or something. And they had been drinking, and they see this weird gray creature run out into the middle of the road, look them dead in their eyes, and then run back across the road. They said that the eyes in the middle of the head were red, and the eyes were real close together, and it had that same description. It was gray, looked like a smooth round head, but it was gray. The whole thing was like gray hair on it, and it was just like a
skeletal or more muscular?
Like very, very thin.
But like very lean? Thin.
Yeah, lean. Yeah. And they said that it had like weird look, what looked like two black dots under each eye. Yeah, and then they had these weird, like weird, this weird little weird looking mouth with like two fangs at the top, two fangs at the bottom kind of coming together. And he said that it was the weirdest looking creature, dude. And then it ran off into the woods and they were like, what the heck was that? Like, kind of sounds like a rake, but like not, because it was gray and it had fur.
Yeah, it sounds like trying to think of something that would match that specifically. It sounds like a lemur person.
A lemur.
Or like, you know, just like some just a skinny monkey kind of creature.
Yeah, I mean, I did ask him that, and he said, dude, you know, he couldn't give me much more. His dad and his uncle are both deceased. His uncle died in a car wreck years ago, and his dad, and he wasn't drinking and driving. He fell asleep at the wheel, but his dad died years and years ago from complications of diabetes. So they had no way to say what this was.
Yeah, I'm real curious about the dad's stories, because you know it's
well. Here's one about his mother and the dad. I don't think I have any more from the dad. There is one that the whole family witnessed, or a big part of the family. But one time, his mother, and she said this happened more than once. Like something pushed her in her back. And she would get up, you know, and on the weekends in particular, and make a bunch of food, you know, and stuff, and they would have company, and then they would do different things, and sometimes his dad would barbecue, but his mom was always, he's like, dude, she was always in the kitchen making tortillas, whether they were, you know, flour, corn, whatever. She was always making tortillas.
Whether they had guests or not.
She was always cooking and always had plenty of food around, beans, whatever, and she would play conjunto music, which is like a type of Spanish music, which I personally don't like, but my mom used to listen to it sometimes, and Tejano music and whatever. But she was playing it in the kitchen, and the channel was kind of like, and it changed and goes to like this classical music. So she goes to change it back, and she said this happened like once in a blue moon. It would just happen. But one time something grabbed her by her apron and pulled her toward the stove and then let go. And it freaked her out because she thought she was going to fall over into like a big pot of beans. And then another time, something just flat out slapped her across her face. So she just threw her apron down and said, fine, whatever, you know, listen to what you want. And the radio station went to the classical music, and she just went and sat in the living room and just left it alone because it was, yeah, something attacked her.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's crazy, you know. And the mother had a few – she's still alive. I haven't talked to her. She's getting pretty older. She's elderly. But yeah, she had a lot of weird stuff happen. She would have all these weird dreams. She had several dreams that came true while she was living there. One of her sister dying in Abilene, which happened. You know, and then, oh gosh, there was another night where the mother was outside with one of her sisters that had come down to visit for Thanksgiving, and the house up on the hill appeared to be on fire. Like, it was on fire. So she ran and got her husband and her brother-in-law and a couple other adults that were there, you know, that had come, and a couple of the older boys, and they all ran up the hill, you know, to see if they could stop it, you know, because there was water, you know, there was like a hose and all that there. And they were going to see if they could like put it out, you know, before, you know, and they called the fire department.
Got too crazy. Yeah.
Cause they live way out in the country. Fire department's going to take forever to get out there, you know? So they one of them went inside, called the fire department. And as soon as they cross the bridge, you know, they run up the hill. There's this big old fire going on. They're like, oh my gosh, this thing is too, you know, as they crossed the bridge, they saw that it was worse than they thought it was. And house was just getting engulfed, and they're like, there's nothing we can do. Let's run back and get help, you know. Let's just wait till the fire department comes. We'll run back and wait for help. So they all run back across the bridge, and then when they get across the bridge, you know, they turn around, they look one by one, and they see that the house is not on fire. There's nothing going on. So then they had to call the fire department and say, hey, false alarm. There's no house on fire, whatever, blah, blah, blah.
Turns out we were just being played a fool. By this witch.
Yeah, or whatever was there. Yeah, absolutely. And so, yeah, that was a crazy story. I mean, like they saw this house, and as they got close, they could feel the heat, you know, but then as they get back across the little bridge, there's nothing. I mean, it's crazy, dude.
What's so annoying about ghosts and really creatures in general is that they go from like mild pranks to like, oh, ding dong ditch to like trying to kidnap you. Yeah. It's like you can choose the side. You can't be both.
Yeah, but it wants to be like completely in your face, and then sometimes it's just like, oh, ha ha, and then other times it's like, oh, a buzzsaw, and it tries to push you into it. Yeah,
fall into this dimension where you'll never be seen again.
Yeah, oops, that's scary. That right there, if something's grabbing you. I didn't get any stories like that from them, but I did get shadow people. Like they said that pretty often, just walking around the property, they would see shadows. Like Philip told me one time, him and Carlos were outside, and you know they were playing marbles. I mean, that's a game that you probably had, by the time
I know how to play marbles. Yeah,
yeah. By the time I was as a little kid in the 80s, my time wasn't even really. We didn't play marbles much. We did, but by the time I was 8 or 9, it was nobody.
It was very rare.
Nobody was playing. They're like, oh, you're playing marbles? And we're all doing other stuff, collecting baseball cards, playing with G.I. Joe. Nobody's playing marbles anymore. But I
was probably one of the last kids to ever play marbles. I did it by myself. For me to find another kid to play marbles would have been really impressive.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
because nobody's going to do that. No. Yeah.
I mean, there's better things going on.
Yeah, but out in the country, you know, back then, and I played with jacks, you know, mm-hmm. and then the pickup sticks and all that. And we had all kinds of games. We play hopscotch and stuff and four square, you know. And if you have enough kids around, you know, and especially them, I envy them because they had all these brothers and sisters that they could play games with, you know, because.
Yeah, it's always envious.
Yeah, if you have like the same two or three people, they suck. There's nothing to do, you know. But
especially if you're better.
So they were playing marbles and they were shooting the marbles, whatever. And they look up, you know, and they see this solid black figure just walking. Like, you know, like somebody would walk, like a normal man would just be walking across the yard, you know, just walking. It was like it looked like he had a coat on, but he was just solid black and he had a hat on that, you know, you've heard of this, you know, the hat man. And he was just walking across the yard.
Going about his day.
Yeah. And they were just dumbfounded. They were just sitting there staring at it. You couldn't see through it or anything. It was solid black. And then it got to the edge of the yard and just kind of dissipated. And so they were just in shock, you know, and that was a regular thing. Like shadow people were seen multiple times, you know, around the house. There was a black hooded figure that they saw in the windows sometimes of their house or walking through the hallway. There was a black hooded figure that was seen floating in the hallway of the mobile home that Richard and what's his face? They stayed in that manual. They stayed in that mobile home. And their bedrooms were like right next to each other's. And it wasn't a real big mobile home, you know. It was one of the smaller ones, you know, as far as mobile homes go. But, I mean, it was a full-size one, but it wasn't big, you know. It wasn't real big. And they just saw it standing there in the hallway. They come home from work, and they had cleaned the house up to where there was just one room that was used for storage, and then they stayed in the two rooms, and they shared like a bathroom. And then they said there was like a living room and then a dining room, and they had both come in, you know, and they had just taken off their work boots and they were going to their respective rooms, and they see this thing floating in the hallway that just had like a hood. It looked like a hooded figure, like a monk. And this figure was seen looking like, or at least where its head would be, because they never could see the face, like looking in the house at different times, you know? And so here's another weird thing that happened. Besides the black hooded figure.
Cultists, yeah, whatever the heck going
yeah, on there. Whatever that was. They said that one of the families that moved in and stayed there for a few months, you know, when they had a neighbor there, they said that one of the families said that when they moved in, this was the first family that moved in after they had moved in. And they said that when they went into the attic, they found a bunch of occult type stuff, books about demons, how to summon them, all kinds of stuff. And there was a giant pentagram that was drawn on the floor. Black candles. So something had happened. Something had gone on there.
I don't think a lot of somethings on top of each other.
Yeah. And so maybe, yeah. And maybe that's what it was. And so the one other time they saw a hairy type creature, which I can only describe as, I think it was just a Sasquatch, as they were driving home one night from a big birthday party in town. And believe it or not, it's where we used to do security, Legion Hall, which is also haunted. When you go upstairs, it's haunted there. And they were all at the Legion Hall, and they had a big old party get together, whatever. I think he said it wasn't a birthday; it was a wedding anniversary or something. And so they were leaving the hall, you know, in two or three vehicles. They were in two or three different vehicles, and they were all driving down the road, and they saw on the side of the road just what looked like a Sasquatch, like a Bigfoot type creature, just standing there, just in, you know, right in the ditch. But even in the ditch, which was 2 or 3 feet down, it was still a good 2 or 3 feet, you know, above what a normal man would be. And they said this thing probably was 8, 9 feet tall, at least, you know, if not taller. And he said that they were, as they drove past it, it just stared right at him, and it just looked at him, and it didn't move. And he said that each vehicle that passed saw it. And he goes, we were all in like in a little, you know, caravan, three vehicles, whatever. And another time when they were coming home from the grocery store, they see right at dusk, it wasn't even completely dark yet, this demonic looking black cat just leapt out from one side of the road, and it looked like it was chasing something, but they couldn't see what it was. They saw something kind of gray looking, and they thought maybe it was a possum or armadillo. They don't know what it was. But this cat had its claws out and was swiping at it. And they said that it looked so weird, but it didn't stand up on its hind legs. It wasn't any kind of humanoidal anything to it. It was
how
just
big was it?
Well, they said that from the nose to tail that it was probably about 7 feet long.
Oh, okay. So it was an actual big cat.
Yeah, and it was huge. They said it was like a gigantic black panther that looked like it probably weighed 300 pounds. And it was just chasing after something, and it just like it didn't even notice them. And they were just like, whoa, whoa, look at that. What is that? And they see it run across the road. And that was it. They were just like dumbfounded, and they just sat there kind of in shock.
I don't know, man. I think, like me personally, if I was living in this place, I would have been gone maybe about 6 or 7 entities ago. There's really a lot going on.
But what if you bought the place, though? And I mean, and you're, you know, and you know, the thing is, too, I mean, if these are all the stories that I got for them, but it was also like I stayed in a place that was haunted for almost 10 years. Well, for 10 years, yeah.
Yeah, but you were dealing with like specifically one, like you knew what type. Imagine if like.
I didn't know what type. It was all kinds of weird stuff.
Yeah, but like, I mean like ghostly, right? You weren't having like dog men coming around.
No,
exactly.
No, of course
so
not.
You weren't having
except
like.
Except for one time I thought something was in the backyard.
There also wasn't like panthers or.
No.
So it's like.
Well, you know, but you know, that was on their way home though. That was 3 or 4 miles down the road.
That's not that far though.
Yeah, I guess it's not.
It's
but
really
I mean.
Not, especially
you know,
for these creatures, that's like their backyard.
If you go 3 or 4 miles over from where I would live, you know, or not even 3 or 4 miles, probably near Dittmar. You know, which is would be probably about a half mile from where I lived is where Arash saw that creature leaned over eating something. Mm-hmm. And the girl that used to work with us at the bar, her best friend saw something that she couldn't tell us whether it was like the wolf man or goat man or what. Yeah. And then up the road, they found like 2 slaughtered hogs and the wildlife department had come and said, is there somebody out here killing hogs and deer and dumping them out there? Have you seen anything, you know? And that was back in the late 90s, early 2000s. I mean, and then there was, you know, before they built all, you know where the Sprouts is on William Cannon, right there when you cross William Cannon and Menchaca?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Right past there.
Near the shortstop.
Yeah. Yeah. And kind of back up in there where Seth lives, you know. Mm-hmm. So if you go past that area right there, and it's from that shortstop, that right there, to the West Gate, right there where La Posada is. All that was woods. Until the last few years, they built a dentist office and a psychiatric office and all that stuff. That stuff was not there. That was all woods when I lived there. And I heard lots of stories of people walking through, and they hated walking by there because people would tell me, even a couple of my roommates who had walked through there had told me, like Rob, he told me that something paralleled him. And I heard all kinds of stories about people seeing like a werewolf looking creature with horns. I mean, it's really weird. I've talked about it on the show before. But I mean, you know, that all happened around my house. And then right down the street, and I know you worked there, was Gardens. What's it called? Garden Terrace.
Yeah.
And I worked there. And of course, you know, there was supposedly a nurse that killed three people there. And they had walled off where the old dining room was and stuff, and people would hear knocking and stuff on the walls.
It's all so weird.
That whole area.
It's a weird environment anyway. And then when you add like possible hauntings on top of it, it mm-hmm. makes it so much worse.
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess if you take it as a collective, as the area, that whole area is haunted.
It might, yeah.
But I mean, yeah, it's the same principle over here with this, you know. It's this whole area just is, it's haunted, you know. And then there was one other time where they thought this wasn't anything, it was pretty benign, but they were all outside one day walking to the creek with their fishing rods, and they saw what they thought were two Native Americans, a male and a female, sitting like by the creek. And when they got closer and they heard their footfall, they stood up and then they just vanished, like they were gone. Boom. And they that was four or five of the kids that saw that, you know. And I asked them about that too. I was like, did you ever see any Native Americans beyond that one time? And the three brothers that I interviewed, you know, they were like, no, we never saw anything beyond that.
Did they ever find any like Native American artifacts?
They did actually near the creek. They found like a couple of arrowheads, yeah, and things like that. And but you know, that's it. I mean, they never found, they, you know, they said they never
saw
anything.
That's pretty normal.
Yeah, in that area. I mean, there would have been different types of what would the Comanches would call Apaches. Calling them Apaches is kind of a derogatory term.
Yeah, wasn't it an insult?
Yeah, it was considered my enemy or whatever. But yeah, so anyways, folks, that's all the time we had for tonight. That's it for this place, you know. And
quite a bit.
Yeah, it was a lot of stuff that went on, and I was looking through my notes here and going through the stories, and I'm pretty sure that's it. But
what's crazy is that this isn't even the house. It's like this is the outskirts, and like this isn't even really like someone who lived in the house and what they experienced if they were in the house.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like what some of the residents who were like popping in and out, what they might have had to experience. This is just someone who was on the outside. Just kind of looking
imagine
at
if you had to live in that
house. Yeah, that's what I was like.
I want to interview the people that lived there.
Yeah, that'd be crazy.
To see what they went through because that,
to make
that's
the move. Yeah. That'd be really cool.
Because I think what happened with this family was they were dealing with like the residual, the residue, or what do you call it? Like the runoff or mm-hmm. whatever. It wasn't even the main. Yeah. And well, you know, and here's the last thing I'll say about it. When I talked to Jesse, like I asked him, I said, did you ever get his ankle fixed and y'all go up there to.
You know, look at some,
and he said, yeah, we eventually, he goes, but I hired two guys to go in there and move what I wanted, you know, which was a dresser. And I said, you still went in there and took something from there? And he goes, yeah, nothing ever came of it. He goes, we still have it. He said it was a beautiful, you know, piece of furniture, but he said it looked like it was handcrafted. It was like from the 1800s, like an old antique piece. But he said that they went inside. And he goes, when they moved it out, one of them kind of stopped and was like wiping his brow and was like looking around. And he goes, and he kind of looked at me, and then he looked at the other guy, and he goes, did you hear that? And the guy goes, no. And then they just kept moving it. And then when they got back into town, he asked him, he said, what did you hear? He goes, I heard what sounded like someone moaning, like they were groaning or moaning, like they were wincing in pain, you know? And he goes, and I thought, nobody lives here. And he goes, and so he's like, we had already walked through the back of the house and looked around because we thought we had heard somebody cough or clear the, you know, like clear the throat and cough. And Jesse's like, dude, are you serious? Because, you know, and so it was just crazy. And like they heard it, but then they heard some kind of, You know, well, the one guy did.
Yeah, anyway. One guy.
And it. So he was like, yeah, he goes, that's just, to this day, if it's there, it's still a very haunted place. I don't think it is, though, because when I talked to Philip, he told me, you know, we were sitting there messaging each other, whatever. And he says, he goes, yeah, I drove through there with my wife and my oldest son, you know, a couple years ago. And he goes, and, you know, we just drove by. We did, because somebody had built, has now built a house, and they're living on the property, like kind of in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I didn't see the house on the hill. Like, it's not there. He goes, I hadn't been out there in years, but I decided to drive out there. And he said that it looks like they had cleared it, because the house they lived in is not there now. And the mobile home's been long gone.
Yeah.
It actually caught fire, you know, on its own. Nobody knows how. Like, there was nobody living there, and it just caught fire, burned down. And, yeah. And so, but he said that the house, he didn't see it. So he said, it's not there. But yeah, it's a weird story, you know, but that land is probably still haunted. And yeah. He said, there's a nice, you know, house there now, but I wonder what the heck those people are, if they have anything going on. And I'm like sure. You said, I'd love to
interview them. Especially since they probably got rid of the other one.
Yeah. Now it's like, okay, now we come play with you.
Yeah. Thanks for building us a new house.
It has to be to possess. But all right, folks. Well, that's all the time that me and Mushu have to mess around with you folks and deal with you and give you all these great,
hopefully terrify you,
great stories. But be careful for the Dogman, Bigfoot, black cats, and ghosts, and whatever else out witches. There, folks. From everyone at PRT, good night.